Well, let's pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Renew to us the joy of our salvation. Remind us what a remarkable thing it is that you became one of us and died for us. In your name, amen. Well, as you know, our Advent theme is Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've looked at the four titles. Let's back up tonight and look at the first part. For to us a child is born. For to us a child is born. What is significant about that phrase? So let's think about that tonight. So for to us a child is born, what is significant about that? First of all, it suggests to us the way which God tends to do business. How does he tend to do business? In person. In person. And aren't you glad that is how he works? I'm sure you can relate to this. You are having something like, I don't know, computer issues or something to that effect. You call tech support, which you dread doing because you know what hoops you're going to have to jump through and what a pain it will be. You call the company if you can find a phone number. Nowadays, that's not a given. Sometimes you have to really work to find the phone number. But you finally find it, you call the company, and then you get the phone tree. If you want this, dial 1. If you want that, dial 2. If you want the other thing, dial 3. If you don't know what you want, dial 4. You know how it goes. Then they put you on hold while you wait for someone to answer the phone. Meanwhile, the phone tree is telling you that you could do this a lot faster if you go on the website. And you've been around that block too. And you know that if you go on the website, you will get, you will contact AI, artificial intelligence, who will ask you the same questions you just answered for the phone tree. And then the AI will supposedly help you, which isn't really any help. And then it will ask you if its information was indeed helpful. So you just choose to wait on the phone. Finally, a person does answer. Again, you know how this goes. Person does answer from India, whose accent you can hardly understand. And then if you're lucky, I mean really lucky, that person actually helps you with your problem. Most of the time, you get frustrated, hang up, and just try to solve the problem yourself, right? When we face issues, like computer issues, whatever the case might be, wouldn't it be nice if we could just talk to the person face to face? Man sinned, he strayed from God, he brought the death sentence down upon himself. How did God deal with that issue? He came in person. In person. He didn't tell us to dial such and so number where if we wanted 1, we could have this, 2, we could do that, 3, we could do that, 4, we could do that. He didn't connect us to an AI. And he certainly didn't connect us to someone in India whose accent we can't understand. He came in person. How cool is that? We take it for granted, but how cool is that? God came in person to deal with our issue. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came. He came. He actually came to earth to seek and save the lost. He came in person to deal with our issue. And that's how God always does business. You look through the scriptures. When his people needed deliverance, God sent a Moses in person. When they needed a warrior to guide them into the promised land, God sent them a Joshua in person. When they lived in the land, he sent them judges in person to bring them back to him each time they strayed. He sent them a David in person to serve as a godly king and a godly example of how they ought to worship the Lord? He sent them prophets in person to call them back to the true and living God. And in the same way, how does he minister to people in our country? He sends you and I in person to go to them and minister to them. It's God's way of doing business in person. So once again, for to us a child is born, what's the significance? First of all, it suggests to us the way that God does business. For to us a child is born. And then it also suggests that he does things in his own time. When man sinned, God didn't send Jesus right away. Thousands of years passed. And then when he finally did send Jesus, he sent him as a baby. And so for 30 years, Jesus does what? Grows up. Meanwhile, the world is broken, it needs a savior, and Jesus is just growing up. God has his own time. God said through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. Not as soon as man sinned, not 100 years later, thousands of years later. And then he sends a baby who has to grow up, become a man. And then finally, when he's about 30 or so, he begins his ministry. In the fullness of time. And God won't be hurried in our own lives, even when we're in a hurry. And besides, would you yell at Michelangelo for not completing the Sistine Chapel in a mere week? Would you yell at Leo Tolstoy for writing War and Peace and taking more than a day? And of course, when we plant our seeds in the ground, we are patient. We wait till the fall. And yet, we can get so impatient with God, can't we? We want things done now. We want things done in our time. But God does things in the fullness of his time. And he's never in a hurry. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And God does all things at the right time, always. So perhaps you're waiting for God to move on your behalf, going through a difficult stretch and you're waiting for God to move. Remember, God works on his own time. He waited 400 years before he sent to Moses to deliver his people from slavery. And probably at least 4,000 years before he sent Jesus after the fall of man. And now we've waited 2,000 years for him to return. Wait patiently for the Lord. And what should you do while you wait? The things you know you are supposed to do. Psalm 37:34 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. Wait for him and do what you are supposed to do while you wait. So while you wait on the Lord to move on your behalf, keep on being kind to others. Keep on doing what is right. Keep on telling the truth. Keep on helping the down and out. Keep on being a good worker at work. Keep on worshiping the Lord. Keep on pointing others to Christ. You can either spin your wheels while you wait, or you can do your duty. Do your duty and wait. So once again, what's the significance of the phrase, for to us a child is born? One, it suggests the way that God does business in person. Secondly, it suggests that he has his own timetable and does things on his own schedule. And thirdly, it reminds us that that Jesus did indeed become one of us. One of us. He didn't just come to earth, he became one of us. He was born. And that, of course, is the great message of Christmas. A while back, I think it still exists, there was this thing called the Geek Squad. I think it still exists. And it was quite popular for a while. If you had computer issues, they came to your house and worked on your computer in person. That's quite an improvement, I think, talking to someone who's in India who you can't understand. But this this Geek Squad did not do this. It did not move into your house and live with you. It did not become a part of your family. But Jesus did. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How amazing is that? That God became one of us and dwelt among us. Amazing. The Jews could not believe this. They could not believe that any person could also be God. And so they could not believe that Jesus had the right, for instance, to forgive sins. So when he said that a person's sins were forgiven in Luke 5:21, they said, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They could not comprehend how a person could be God. And then the longer Jesus was among them and the more he taught, they began to understand that he was indeed claiming to be God. And so in John 5:18, they began already to try to kill him because in their mind, he was speaking blasphemy. The Jews could not believe that one of us could possibly also be God. We, on the other hand, sometimes forget that Jesus, who is fully God, is also fully human, one of us. We sometimes forget that. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't take on our flesh, he became flesh, one of us, and dwelt among us. So think about that. He was born a child. No doubt Jesus played with the other youngsters his age when he was growing up, just a lad, just like we do. Did he play hide and seek? Maybe. He went to school just like we went to school. He learned a trade just like we learn a trade. He needed to eat just like we need to eat. I'm sure there was some food he liked and others he didn't like very much, just like you and me. And I know this is shocking, but Jesus passed gas, just like we do. And frankly, it stunk, just like ours. He was one of us. One of us. If he stepped on a sharp rock, it hurt. If he stayed out in the sun too long, he got sunburned. And as it says in Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in every respect that we are. The difference being, of course, is he never gave in to that temptation. We do. But he was tempted in every way that we were. When the Romans beat and crucified him, he suffered horribly, just as we would. When he died as dead as dead can be, just like when we die as dead can be. But then, of course, he rose again. And because he was one of us, we will rise again in our turn and join him. There's nothing we have ever gone through or ever will go through that Jesus doesn't personally understand. That's profound, isn't it? So take comfort in knowing that Jesus is one of us. One of us. The one who promised to never leave us or forsake us is one of us. The one who is even now preparing a place for you and me is one of us. The one who will one day return and take us to be with him is one of us. the one who will reign forever at the right hand of the Father is one of us. Isn't that profound? Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. To deal with our problem, God did not just hook us up by phone or by computer. He came in person. And he came in his own time, when it was right to do so. And he came as a child, as one of us. I'll say it yet one more time. Amazing. Amazing. Merry Christmas. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. How you became one of us, that is nothing short of amazing. We've heard this story so often that it doesn't strike us amazing as it should, but it is. It's amazing. You didn't become an angel. You became one of us. And in every sense of the word, you are our brother. And because of what you have done and the victory you have won, those of us who have trusted in you, we will share in that victory. Why? Because you are one of us. How we praise you, Jesus. Thank you for being willing to come to earth and becoming one of us. How we praise you. In your name, amen.